Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, let's look at our text here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to speak to the subject that God's grace is sufficient for us. And this is a testimony chapter. This is a testimony of a servant of God and what God did in his life and what God told him. Now, this is a passage well familiar to all of us. And let me ask you, has anybody ever had a thorn in the flesh? Do you know what I'm saying? You ever had a problem? And it's, you know what's interesting about this chapter? Paul never says what his thorn in the flesh is. Now, we can speculate, we can guess, but he never says what. And I think that's on purpose because we can fill in the blank what our thorn in the flesh is. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read the scriptures here. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Now, he's speaking in the third person here. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for this portion of scripture we shall consider here tonight, and I pray you'd speak to each heart. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, the living Word, and honors your holy name, and I pray much fruit would come forth for your kingdom. So, Lord, bless as we gather around your word, and I pray that you would guide us as the Spirit of the living God is here with us through your word and through the Spirit of God. Guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, for Paul here, this was such an experience that he waited 14 years to talk about it. Now, some people had trauma in their life. Some people have had experience. But for Paul, this was one of those experiences. He waited 14 years to even talk about it. It was such an experience for him. And for Paul here, he didn't really know what to do with it. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or out of the body, it was one of these experiences that was so real to him that it was just a God moment, and he just was like, I don't even know how to even express what happened to me. Now, the first heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven would be the stars. The third heaven would be paradise, the heaven of heavens where God abides. And for Paul, he was caught up to that, and God spoke to him. Now, did Paul go through a tough time in his Christian life? Okay. Give me some of the things he went through. Just name them off. What did he go through as a servant, an apostle of Christ? Shipwrecked? Stoned? Okay, bitten by a snake? Beatings. A day and a night he spent in the deep just drifting. In prison. How about betrayed by his own countrymen? You know, all the ones that betrayed him and worked against him. You know, that is a tough road to walk down. Now, if God knew that you're going to have to walk down that road, do you think in the sovereignty of God, God would say, Paul, this is a tough road, but I want you to see what is at the end of the road for you? Would that be an encouragement for Paul? To see at the end of the road, this is what's waiting for me. That was an encouragement to him. And I think God, in his sovereignty and his love for Paul, said, Paul, you're going to be, this life of yours is going to have through much tribulation. You're going to enter the kingdom of God. But I want you to know,
Be faithful unto me, even unto death, and this is what awaits you. Now, would that bless your life to know that's what awaits you at the end? And for Paul, God gave him that. Now, he talks here in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, if you count Hebrews, some people think Paul wrote Hebrews. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. I kind of lean toward he wrote Hebrews, and that's another whole discussion. But if he wrote Hebrews, how much of the New Testament did he write? A lot, okay. How much would that be? He wrote over half. Yeah, over half in the New Testament. Do you think he had some abundant revelations? Okay. And he did. God was giving to Paul with a new... Now, can you imagine how many millions of saints have sat down and read what he wrote? Year after year, day after day, the saints of God have been blessed by what he penned down. And he was truly an amazing man, and God gave him some amazing things. Now, look at verse, I want to make a comment here about verse 3. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Verse 4, how he was caught up unto paradise and heard, what kind of words? Unspeakable, which is not, he says it one way, and then he says it the other way, which is not lawful for a man to what? Utter, to talk about. Okay. How many words do we have recorded in the Bible when Lazarus was raised from the dead? Do we have anything about his experience? There is not one word in the Bible that is ever recorded what Lazarus said, although he was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter that was raised from the dead, do we have any testimony of what it was like when she died? Can you think, I can go on and on here, can you think of one person in the Bible that died and went to heaven and we heard their testimony? There's not one. Now, if you go into a bookstore, can you find many books written about people dying and going to heaven and telling what they said? Okay, I'm just going to tell you where I land on that issue. What did Paul say? It was not lawful for him to what? Utter. That's a God thing. God says, Paul, you've been here, but I don't want you to speak what you've seen here. And I think from the testimony of Scripture and Paul's testimony here, a lot of these stories are like, I can't relate to them. I just don't relate to them. Because I go to the testimony of Scripture. I judge everything by Scripture. And I don't see people going to heaven and coming back and giving their testimony of all these things they've seen. I just don't see it. So be very careful when you hear books and written about all these people go to heaven and come back. And Paul said it's not lawful for man to utter. I just wanted to make that comment here. Now, why did Paul receive this thorn in the flesh? Was it important for him in verse 7? There was given to me. Now, who gave him that? God did. Okay. Is Romans 8:28 still in the Bible? It is. Is God wise enough to weave our life together? Okay, God gave Paul all these revelations, all the scripture he penned down for the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, all these things. And yet for him, there was a thorn in the flesh. And he actually calls it the messenger of Satan to buffet me. What's the word buffet mean? That's an old King James word. Who has another word for that? Torment? Anybody else have another word for buffet? Torment? Punches. How about beatings? It beat him. This thorn in the flesh beat him. Can your thorn in the flesh have a benefit to you spiritually? Yeah, absolutely. Because for Paul, he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, given some people in our land that have these experiences, do they kind of like to have a big audience when they give their testimony they went to heaven? They just want everyone to know what they... But Paul, he didn't want to go there because what did he say? Least I should be exalted above what? Measure. See, the thing is, God is not concerned with our happiness. or our popularity. He's concerned with our holiness and our righteousness. That's what God's concerned. And he was concerned with Paul that he didn't want him to be proud and lifted up and thought he was really somebody. And Paul was concerned about that because he says that in verse 6, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He was very concerned that people wouldn't put him on some big pedestal, because who belongs on the pedestal? Not Paul, but who? God does. Jesus Christ belongs there. And the minute we knock him off the pedestal and put ourselves there, that's a problem. That is a huge problem. And in the wisdom of God, there was this messenger sent to Paul of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, when you have a thorn in the flesh, you tell God about it? Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. He prayed, God, this thorn is, fill in the blank. And in another time, he said, God, this thorn in the flesh is tearing me up. It's buffeting me. The third time, he prayed again, God, this thorn in the flesh, can you take it from me? And God said to him in verse 9, my grace is what? Sufficient. Now, if God gives you a thorn in the flesh, he's going to give you the grace to go with that thorn in the flesh. It's not to punish you. It's not to harm you. It's to help you. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul got this because as he thought about this, he said, when God told him that, and he thought about it and he processed it, and he realized this thorn in the flesh is not going away. So, since it's not going away, what were the options before him? Because if it's not going away and he resented that, how would he might feel toward God? Bitter, resentful? What would that have done to his Christian life? Where would he have gone then, spiritually? Okay, yeah, it could lead to rebellion. It could have just go spiritually bad. Elizabeth Elliot has this little phrase, in acceptance lieth peace. When you accept what God gives to you, in acceptance lieth peace. Paul had peace about this. He said, most gladly, therefore, rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ. See, if he kicked back at his infirmity and blamed God, got bitter, resentful, rebelled, God, it's not fair, it's not right, and goes down that road, what would he have done to the Spirit of God in his life? What would he have done to the Spirit of God? Quenched it, put it right out. And he didn't want that. Now, is God, somebody said it like this, God is ever too wise to make a mistake, and ever too loving never to hurt us. And we have to understand that he's not going to make a mistake and he's not going to hurt us on purpose. But whatever comes into our life, we can always know that his grace is what? Sufficient for us. It'll see us through. And so when Paul had infirmities, when he had reproaches, when he had necessities, when he had persecution, when he had distress for Christ's sake, he said in verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in these things in this sense, that he knew that his grace would be sufficient in those moments. Now, this week just passed us. Did you have something in your life that just like devastated or took you down or was painful or hurtful and you just struggled with it? You know, I think all of us have those moments where we just don't know what to do. How do we get here? What do I do with this? Is verse 9 was for Paul, but is that for us too? Is that verse for us too? It is. God's grace is sufficient for us. And I think God allowed Paul. Now, Paul waited 14 years before he wrote this down. But you have this window of his soul just open up. I mean, he's being very honest here. He's given his testimony, what God did in his life. And as he peeled back the layers of what he had to struggle with about this thorn in the flesh, how many saints of God have been encouraged because Paul had the right attitude through his thorn in the flesh? How many other saints of God have been encouraged to know, well, if God did this for Paul, he can do this for me. Now, I have a very deep, profound theological question. And this is the question. Is no an answer from God? Yes. Is that an answer? Yes. A lot of times we want the yes answer because we ask him for something. But if God says no, is that an answer? Yes. That is an answer. Well, yes, sometimes it's wake. Timing's important. And I think for Paul, when he got the no answer, did he accept that? Mm-hmm. He did. And he was a wise man to do that. He accepted the no answer. And if we get the no answer, will we be wise to accept that also? I think so. I think so. You know, this few verses here, this is so deep with the Christian life because it can apply to all of us. And I want you to know, at the end of the road, you're going to meet God as a Christian. That road is filled with many pains and sorrows and heartaches. We lose people we love, people, you know, hurt us along the way, they misunderstand us, they lie about it, all these things that happen in this world. But beyond all that, at the end of the road, we're going to meet God. And be where, what did Paul call it? I was caught up to where? In paradise. Is that worth going through all we suffer here to know you're going to be in paradise? Because you have chosen the path of righteousness. You've chosen the pathway of submission to God. You've chosen the pathway of identifying yourself with Jesus Christ. It's worth it at the end. It's worth it at the end. Some good verses here for us to chew on. Anybody have any insights about this passage or anything that would add to our thoughts here tonight?
Just thinking about, I've already, that isn't fair. Why doesn't God do that for me too?
But I had to think of how the disciples asked Jesus to sit on the morning of waiting on the left. He said, "Are you ready to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?"
Yes.
I just thought about that, you know, like, for Paul to see all these inexpressible things, you've been through a lot, so
yes.
Search your heart, I'm ready to go through that.
Yes. I just surrender myself to God. Whatever pathway he's ordained for me, that's all I want. Because I'm not going to live another person's life. I just want to live my life God's way and what he has for me. Yes, Brian.
I mean, I was thinking about this and the story of the blind beggar that he healed kind of comes to mind as well, like the question God's sovereignty, and why was that guy born blind? Mm-hmm. And they asked, you know, was it for because of his sin or his parents? And it was for no other reason than God could, you know, show his power at that specific time. Yes. So why might we have this thorn in the flesh? We might not ever find out, but and I mean that's easy. It's easier said.
Sure. But it's all for the glory of God. Because we surrender ourselves to God. Everything I am, I give to you, God. I'm yours. That's a surrendered life. And when we do, it's all for God's glory. Yes. Good thought, Brian. Yes. Yes, Mary.
Well, I know in the past 2 years, I've really been suffering. And as I do my devotion and stuff, I think the Lord's trying to refine me. You know, he's helping me to
try to live a better life. Okay, sure. Yes. Yes, that's right, Mary. Day by day, he's refining us and working.
You know, pray that your suffering wins sometime, mm-hmm. But, you know, at least you know that he's there to help you.
Yes, he is. He's a faithful God. That's right. Yes.
Well, I think about, Esther, when you say about, you know, doing accept God when God says no to me. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think about with my father and then at my own family. And one day I was coming home from work and we made a statement we were gonna, the Marine Corps was it was in Cuba and they were ready to attack. They were board ships all surrounding Cuba. And so I came into the house, I said to my wife, I'm going back to Cuba, I'm going back to the Marine Corps tomorrow. And she said, okay. And I said, oh, this is great, you know. But then she walked out, she went into the front room, came out with the telephone, here, your dad wants to talk to you. And he said, when you went in, he said, you had no children. He said, now you got two children and you got a wife. He says, you stay home. No, you can't go. But I think God treats me that way sometimes.
Sure.
When he says no, sometimes I still want to do it.
Right. Well, iron sharpens iron, and your dad sharpened you a little bit to help you understand. Yes. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. All right, well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And Father, may we as believers in this past week, many of us had struggles and things we went through. But Lord, may we always trust this coming week that your grace is sufficient for us. And Lord, may we draw near to you and know, Lord, that all things work together for good to those that love you and those that are the called according to your purpose. So Lord, help us to wait on you in the long hours. And knowing, Lord, that you know our downsittings and uprisings, you know our thoughts are far off. Lord, we're your servants, your people. May we yield ourselves to you afresh and anew, that you may work in and through our lives, that we may please you, who has called us into a holy calling in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, help us toward this end and strengthen our hands for this good work that you've called us to as being believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.